invite Donnie Theron to come forward with his testimony. A little background on Donnie. He's a friend of mine. He's very active in Celebrate Recovery. He has been the state director for, I think, 3 or probably even 4 years, Donnie. I'm not sure exactly, but I know it was 3 for sure. And he is also heading up the Celebrate Recovery here in Jamestown. So he's very active. And Donnie, we're pleased you're here, and we're thrilled to hear your message this morning.
Thank you. Thanks, Gene. Thanks for letting me be here this morning. Usually I'm up kind of against a time crunch, you know. The Vikings play at noon, but they don't play till next Monday night, so we got lots of time. So I appreciate that. Nobody told me how quick I had to be. To respect time also, I have my testimony written, so I'm just going to mostly just read it. That will keep me on track and also respect your time. So I'm just going to jump right in here. The home that I grew up in, my dad was a practicing alcoholic, and my mom was an amazing caretaker, an adult child of an alcoholic and abusive father. At a very early age, I remember feeling different, like I didn't really fit in. I was teased about my naturally curly hair, my fat lips, and other things, as kids do. And I don't know if they still say this saying, but they would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And that was a lie. Kids' words, they cut me to the bone, and I took them very personally. When I was about 10, my mom told me that she was not my biological mom. And I had thought for many years that my biological mom had died giving birth to me, but in fact, she had a brain aneurysm when I was just 7 months old. But that's how my brain worked. I took everything personally. Everything was my fault. At about the same time, 2 older neighbor boys asked me if I wanted to join their club, and of course I did, because I just wanted to belong. Well, I'm just going to say that their initiation to their club left me feeling dirty, violated, and humiliated, and there were no club meetings after that. I was a bedwetter until I was 11 years old, and that created a lot of shame and humiliation when I would stay at friends' houses, and I thought somehow I was broken and, again, different. At about 13, my dad's drinking got worse, and he withdrew from my life and into his recliner. The times of playing catch in the yard and going fishing became non-existent. I would hear mom and dad arguing at night when I was in bed, and I just knew they were arguing about me. It was my fault, because that's how my brain worked. And it would make me so angry that I would scream into my pillow. At age 15, I drank for the first time, and I got drunk. And I finally felt like I fit in. Like I was normal. It just made me feel normal like everyone else. All my inhibitions were gone. And I was quickly off and running, chasing that feeling of belonging and filling that empty hole inside of me with alcohol and soon other drugs. My dad got sober about this time and started trying to be a dad, but it was too late for me. Most of our time together after that was spent arguing and yelling, with me storming out of the house, punching walls. By the time I was 18, I was using drugs morning, noon, and night, drinking most weekends. I was stealing money from my parents' vacation fund to support my habits. I spent my 20s drinking every night, unable to stop for more than a few days. I was also using a long list of other drugs, basically whatever made me not feel. I was becoming a blackout drunk as well. Somehow, I completed 3 years of active duty in the Navy with an honorable discharge. And to my parents' disappointment, I moved home until they had to kick me out, which was the best thing they could have done for me. I couldn't hold a job for more than a few months. I was using people to satisfy my fleshly desires. I was wrecking cars left and right, stealing money from work. I was in jail twice for drugs and DUI. My life was basically utter chaos. My using had not been fun for many years now. My life was full of failed attempts to stop. The consequences of my using were painful and humiliating. No matter how hard I drank or what drugs I used, I couldn't recapture that feeling of joy or belonging that 15 years before made me feel like the life of the party, good-looking, tough, and self-confident. Because of how I use now, I again felt lonely, empty, and out of control, and fearful of what I might do next. There's a saying that sums up where I was. Some of you have probably heard this. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. I had become a father along the way, too, to a beautiful little girl who got in the way of my drinking and received my anger and abuse. When she was just 3, by the grace of God in Alcoholics Anonymous, I found recovery. That was after a third outpatient treatment and the realization that once I took that first drink, nothing else in my world mattered. Not my family, not my daughter, nothing. And for some reason, though, this time my desires for cravings for alcohol or drugs were miraculously taken away. Amen as well. It was maybe the first time also in my life that I found a group of people who understood and shared my struggle. I felt like I finally fit. Through AA, my mind began to open to the possibility of a higher power that was involved in my life. Before, I thought God was a punishing God who was only involved in my life when I screwed up, kind of like my earthly father. After a year sober, I married my wife and her 8-year-old son. We had 2 children together, and none of them, thank the Lord, have ever seen me drunk or high. I did the AA deal for about 13 years. I chaired meetings, made coffee, had a sponsor. I sponsored others. I was employable and generally a good member of society, but I was far from fixed. When we got a computer, internet pornography began to consume my alone time, and I would make excuses why I couldn't come to bed so that I could go on the computer and on the internet. I was using pornography to disconnect from reality, to mask pain, and to fill the gap that was left by the absence of drugs and alcohol. And it was destroying my relationship with my wife. We started attending a new church, and I started hearing a different message than the one I had grown up in and rarely attended. I had been dragged to church all my youth. That's the way it felt. I was dragged to church. I disliked Sundays. I was even confirmed in the church, but for the first time now in my life, I understood the difference between God and Jesus Christ. I began to hear of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the message of grace. It was as if my ears were being opened for the first time. The people there seemed different, too. They seemed like they were real and genuine, and they really did care. I found out now that I was the hypocrite. I thought everybody else was, but it was me. Anger had always been a part of my life, and it would come out at my wife Amy and the kids. I'd go off on rageful rants and cutting, hurtful sarcasm. One morning, I blew my top at our 9-year-old son and went into a rage. And a couple of days later, my wife told me, she was bold enough to tell me that my own children were scared to death of me. And that completely floored me. still does. And I felt as though I had hit another bottom and something had to change. Excuse me. I knew I could not change on my own, not on my own power. My power is what made this mess. And one day in church, after several weeks of living in this brokenness and desperation, I was praying for an altar call. Whew. The Holy Spirit's in this place this morning. And when that altar call finally came, I found myself practically running to the front of the church. I turned my life over to Christ that day, December 12th, 2010. God began to show up in my life as I sought him. He began to change me from the inside out as I got into different Bible studies, and my pastor mentored me and set a Christian example for me to follow. My recovery meetings that were home for the last 13 years weren't the same anymore. I didn't feel comfortable talking about Jesus there. And I soon got the feeling that my openness about my porn addiction made the people in my Bible studies a little uncomfortable. I again started feeling as though I didn't fit. I was caught in between. And that's when I heard about this Christ-centered 12-step recovery program called Celebrate Recovery. And I just immediately knew that it was what I was looking for. And it didn't take long for Jesus to begin healing me and others through that program. In my first Celebrate Recovery step study, 12-step study, with God's help, was a house cleaning of all the past unforgiveness and resentments I had towards those who had hurt me all the way back into my childhood. I was also able to release myself from the things I blamed myself for that weren't my fault, like my mom's death, the childhood abuse, and my parents fighting. That is also when the rage and anger issues began to leave me. During my second step study, I was able to forgive my dad for abandoning me through his alcoholism and made amends to others for the harm I caused them through my using. The next step study I was in highlighted my control issues and how I have no control over other people or places and how I just need to love unconditionally, especially my family. Now I know they are my first and most important ministry, and that unconditional love, Christ-like love, starts at home. The struggle that's been the hardest one for me to tackle is sexual immorality and lust. My whole life has been littered with unhealthy relationships, sex addiction, and pornography. It started all the way back when I was a boy to my 20s, jumping from relationship to relationship, one-night stands and using people, finally to the internet pornography and a crumbling marriage. I decided to battle this. I was going to hide God's word in my heart. I had heard this over and over and over, and it sounded finally like a good idea. I started memorizing scripture, specific scripture dealing with lust and sexual immorality to fight this addiction. A key verse, actually, is the one that Gene recited this morning about 1 Corinthians 10:13, that no temptation has overtaken me except what's common to man. I felt like I was all alone, unique in some way, but it's common to everyone. And God gave me a way out of it, which I find now is his word hidden in my heart and the power of his Holy Spirit. I have a choice today. I can make the right choice. And he gives me that power. Let's see. So there's many other scripture verses that I use as well that I memorize. My life verse has been Joel 2:25 that promises me I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. There had been one piece in my recovery that I was missing, and that was the relationship with my oldest daughter, that little girl who took my anger and abuse. And today I can say, thanks to God, we now have an open relationship. I am invited to be a part of her life and the lives of my four grandchildren anytime I want. See, God is truly faithful, and he has redeemed me and given me strength over and over. Since surrendering to Jesus, I have victory over uncontrollable rage and anger, porn addiction, caffeine addiction, loving and accepting my family as they are, people-pleasing, fear of change, and much more. But God's not done with me yet. I still have a sinful nature that wants to be in charge, but today I have a hunger and thirst for righteousness that leads me to take up my cross daily and follow him. Today I'm living in victory. Today I have a joy and sense of purpose and belonging I had been searching for my entire life. My relationship with my wife is wonderful, beyond what I could have imagined. My kids now enjoy having me around and ask me to do things with them. I have led worship at church. I'm on the leadership team at Celebrate Recovery here in town. As Gene said, I've served as the North Dakota State Rep for Celebrate Recovery, where I helped to start many other programs around the state. And I've served on the church board. Now, I don't tell you these things to brag about myself, but to brag about my higher power, the only higher power, Jesus Christ. It's all about him, and without him, I would still be that scared, angry, lost, lonely little boy. I was just thinking this morning, as I was praying, that it's kind of humbling to be here with you this morning. I don't know if you know, my family was actually part of the church plant here at when it was Temple Baptist Church. The Terrans were part of starting this church. And although I don't know, I never knew my great-grandma, what I do know about my great-grandma is that she prayed a lot. She prayed for this church. She prayed for her grandkids and her great-grandkids. She was a strong woman of faith, strong little German from Russia. And I believe that we should not stop praying ever. And it's her prayers and God's grace that I'm here today in this church with you this morning. So I want to thank you for letting me share. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.